You're tuned to Northern Community Radio, 91.7 FM, KAXE, Grand Rapids and the Iron Range, 90.5 FM, KBXE, Bagley and Bemidji, 89.9 FM, Brainerd and Baxter, and 103.9 FM, Ely. You can hear us online at www.kaxe.org. For many of our listeners, independent community radio is just one thing that makes life in northern Minnesota better. It connects us over miles of snow-covered landscape. Through the trees, over the lakes, it lets folks here in Virginia, up in Ely, down in Brainerd, over in Bemidji, Bagley, and out west of Fauston. All these folks know that their place matters, just as much as any big city with shiny buildings. The people here have stories, too, and music, art, and another generation just around the corner. And that's what our show represents, the Great Northern Radio Show. And you do not hear shows like this on any other public station or independent station. They've put a lot into this show and really make it possible for us to take it to towns all over northern Minnesota that would never get the attention that they deserve. Thank you, Northern Community Radio. Welcome back to the second hour of the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. Our show is made possible by the support of the people of Minnesota through the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota. Find out more about northern Minnesota jobs in the taconite industry at taconite.org. Well, we are at Mesabi Range College in Virginia, eastern hub of the Mesabi Iron Range through its modern 120-year history as a logging and mining town, a hub of game, human, and glacial migration long before that. It's been a very busy place, where amazing things have happened over the years. Like with most of the range, the first American settlers here in Virginia came to log the big white pine forests. To say these forests were vast or that these trees were big is an understatement. These forests seemed impenetrable and touched the sky under the canopy of white pines, endless night. For two gangbuster decades in the early 20th century, the Virginia and Rainy Lake Company milled lumber that built Minnesota and the nation. Employing 2,000 men at its peak, the mill represented a stunning $10 million private investment in 1908, which is more than $1 billion in today's money. Logging was winter work, fit the labor market, because mines were shut down in the winter. Men would skid huge white pine logs out of the forest on sleighs down from the Laurentian Divide here to Virginia. The size of these timber loads was jaw-dropping, and these were pulled on flat runners across ice trails by just four horses. Here with that story, the Great Northern Radio Players.
Giddy up, team! Get those timbers up the hill! Yeah! Yeah, Jack! Yeah, Buttercup! Yeah, Sassafras and Samson!
Now, keep those legs moving, fellow horses. I can see the top of the hill from here.
That's great, Jack, because all I can see back here is snow and Buttercup's behind.
Oh, Samson, I warned you about looking at my butt.
I can't help it. I got blinders on.
You think we like looking at your haunches there, Buttercup? It's the only thing here bigger than this load we're pulling.
Hey, like you should talk.
Okay, that's enough. First of all, that's an exaggeration. Buttercup's behind is normal.
Yeah.
If we're a draft horse. Second of all, nothing is bigger than this load we're pulling right now. Holy cow!
Oh, please don't curse, Jack.
Oh, I don't cow. Who hears me? This is Bull. We should go on strike.
Oh, here we go with another strike vote.
I'm serious this time. How do you guys vote?
Nay.
Nay.
You guys, why do you always vote nay?
It's literally our only option.
Jukebox has only one tune, pal.
Well, we sure don't get enough credit for all the work we do. Half this forest is gone, and we horses pulled most of it to the river or down to the tracks ourselves. And what do we get?
Backaches.
Harness sores.
Muscle definition.
Exactly. And most of that is bad. The sawmill down in Virginia cuts 300 million board feet of lumber every year. Almost a million board feet every day. Don't ask me how a horse knows that, but I do.
And
every inch of that timber we pulled. Just think how many horse brethren we've lost over the years.
Jumpy Joe, he was so fun to be around, except when he would buck under a 20-ton load of logs.
Ultimately, the cause of his demise. You know who I miss? Bertha. She could solo jack a loaded sleigh out of the swamp, all while chowing down on breakfast from her feed bag.
Too bad she ran off that trestle into Skeleton Lake while she was reaching for her oats.
Distracted driving. It's not worth your life.
Oh, no, forget about that.
And who could forget War Horse? He went off to fight in World War I, encountering a series of complicated escapades that underscored the brutality of modern warfare.
No. Did he die?
I don't know. He didn't win an Oscar, though.
Hey, listen here, horse friends. Let's not wallow in our tales of woe. We've got a few more miles until this sleigh gets to the railroad. Maybe we can craft some kind of plan to, I don't know, maybe get a few days off, take a little vacation or something.
I could go for that. Put my hooves up on a beach somewhere, eating apples off the shoulder blades of some hot racehorses. How about you, Buttercup?
Oh, I wouldn't mind some rest and relaxation so I can finally finish reading the thing that's written on the back of my stall. Oh, it's just so obtuse! I feel like I'm in some FFA program trying to read that thing.
Well, all I need is a field full of ponies and a farmer that won't shoot me for what's about to happen.
See, we could all use a break. We're almost to the railroad spur now.
Whoa, hold up there, team. I'll fetch you some water and some feed while they unload the logs up there.
Water and feed sounds pretty good right about now.
No kidding. We've been walking what? 5.4
miles up and down two hills and across a lake.
Right, that's a lot.
Well, maybe we could try to sneak away after tomorrow's run. I mean, we wouldn't want to start vacation on an empty stomach.
No way, fine by me. The sleigh is empty now, so it'll be easy to haul back up to the camp. We'll get that vacation soon enough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm only 2.5 years from retirement. Getting close.
Yeah, you're right. Nothing bad ever happens to horses in a logging town.
Well, here you go, boys and girls. Have some oats.
Oats!
The Great Northern Radio Players. Sam Miltich and the Clearwater Hot Club.
Thank you.
This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. The Mesabi Iron Range is known for a lot of things. It's known for mining, of course, and a rich immigrant history. It's known for fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, petiza, porchetta, and more. We're also not known for a lot of things. We are not known as a good place to buy an Audi, for instance.
Is that some sort of ladies' undergarment?
I think so. Another thing we are not known for is that we are not known as a good place to raise tropical birds in the wild.
Rap, rap, pretty bird. Pretty bird, so cold. Pretty bird can't feel beak. Pretty bird needs to start a fire. Pretty bird started fire. Oh no, snow falls on pretty bird's fire. Pretty bird run wild through the woods in hypothermic psychosis. Ah! Pretty bird feeling sleepy. The men from the camp will find pretty bird like this.
Tragic and yet compelling literature just the same. No, as much as we love being from the Iron Range, we have a few weak spots. And one of them is fashion. Whether it's an Arctic cat jacket worn to a job interview, a cat lady sweatshirt worn on a date, or a camouflage worn to church during a wedding by the bride. The Iron Range is full of fashion faux pas. It's not that we think we look good in the clothes we wear, it's just that most of us don't care. I must admit, for me, fashion has always been a problem. I'm not colorblind, but I'm color matching impaired, or CMI, a real condition that affects 2 out of every 3 Iron Range men and 0 out of every 3.5 billion women on Earth. Every morning in my closet feels like a public service announcement. I'm ashamed, confused, feel out of place in the world around me. Even when I think I match, I usually don't, and my family just doesn't understand. It's a tough problem, and as the Great Northern Radio players will soon show, there's only one possible solution, a cumbersome government review.
Order, order! This public hearing to gather feedback on the fashion impact statement of one Bob Scooter Zabancik will now come to order. Here from the Minnesota Department of Wardrobe Enlightenment and Enforcement Bureau is Dr. Ellen Pansalon.
Thank you, fellow bureaucrat, and thanks to all of you for being here tonight. Your opinion matters to us at MN Dweeb, and your feedback will shape the future fashion of your most embarrassing family members. I will now read the executive summary before we begin taking comments from the audience. Now, this proceeding concerns the assessment of fashion risk as relates to Robert Zabancik, also known as Bob, also known as Scooter, also known as Bobby Scoots, Bobby Red Scoots, Bobby Brown Scoots, and baby Bobby Brown Bojangle Scootsania, Lord of the Scooty Toot Toot, henceforth known as Mr. Zabancik. Beginning on May 29th, 1983, the day his mother stopped picking out clothes for him to wear, Mr. Zabancik has left the house on numerous occasions wearing the following items. One brown shoe and one black shoe. A green shirt with a green t-shirt underneath that is an entirely different green.
Oh my gosh.
Brown shoes with navy pants and a black turtleneck.
No, you gotta be kidding me.
A Minnesota Vikings jacket with a Minnesota Twins hat, Minnesota Wild socks, and a Minnesota Golden Gophers pajama pants.
Go Wild.
Well, he is a fan, yeah.
And my friends, jeans with no butt. Just a bunch of fabric where you could kind of see his boxer briefs, but not in a good way.
No, that's just wrong.
Mr. Zabancik, you will first be allowed a brief testimony before the floor is opened up to complainants.
So listen, I get dressed in the dark, you know, on account of it being early and such. I honestly think that shirt was blue. Go Twins.
Very well, very well. Thank you, Mr. Zabancik. Our next testimony comes from Mrs. Donna Zabonsik, wife of Mr. Zabonsik.
Thank you, Dr. Lady. Look at my husband. Look at him. Just look at him. I did not dress him this way. I tell him what to wear. I buy shirts for him that match. He doesn't wear them. He is a disaster. The clothes, sure, but also in every other possible way. I've given up trying to change him, but I would like his gosh dang clothes to match like a grown-up. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Zabonsik. Next to the microphone, Miss Sadie Zabonsik, daughter of Mr. Zabonsik.
Thank you, Dr. Pantslong. Guests, distinguished Minnesota dweeb regulators, friends, fellow human beings. My name is Sadie Zabonsik, and I am the adult child of a tank topaholic. Every day, my life is affected by the actions of someone who is not in control of their tank top problem. My father is a good provider. He has always worked hard to make a good life for my mother and me. But he has also worked hard to make my life a living hell in which bringing a friend over means risking a friendship to the awkward, unexpected appearance of my dad's weird, hairy nipples when he leans over to shake my friend's hand. Last summer, Mother and I held an intervention. In the center of our living room, we piled all of Dad's tank tops, pants that don't match anything, shirts with swear words, streaky underwear, and socks with deer blood on them.
My lucky socks.
He promised he would stop, but then later that summer, we found him riding his bike, smoking a cigarette, wearing Bermuda shorts, a tank top, and a fanny pack filled with lighters, breath mints, and gigantic sunglasses like the kind those highway patrol officers wear.
Oh, dear.
This is too much to bear. Please, committee, do the right thing.
Thank you, Sadie. Very powerful testimony. Next, I welcome my colleague from the Minnesota Department of Wardrobe, Enlightenment, and Enforcement Bureau, Dr. Miles O'Fabric.
Dr. Pantsalong, colleagues, I have been enlisted to investigate the economic impact of Mr. Zabonsik's fashion choices. As you can see from Chart 56B, which is an addendum to the fashion impact statement you've all got in your packets, more than 500 jobs could be created if Mr. Zabonsik wore matching age-appropriate clothing.
Well, hold on a minute. 500 jobs just because I dress better? That's a bunch of baloney. He just made that up.
I'm not about to take that kind of criticism from someone wearing white socks and black shoes.
Order! 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 This concludes our public comments on the matter of Bob Scooter Zabonsik's fashion. Now, this next hearing will be held Thursday in the men's section of Herberger's, and the final hearing will occur next Wednesday in the clothing section of L&M.
The Great Northern Radio Players! Welcome back, The Slamming Doors!
By name by now, but I gotta take my medicine before I lose my mind. Cause she went hot when I was on fire, the truth when I was a liar. She lay right down when I need someone to stand with me. And all you got is time, all you got is time to waste. And all you got is time, all you got is time to waste. Grandfather told me so before they laid his sweet soul in the ground. Well, big head boy, you gotta keep one foot before the other. Cause this world will clog your heart. With a beat, with a bat, you're from the start. It'll knock you down and
throw your sorry ass to the dogs. And all you'll have is time, all you'll have is time to waste. And all you'll have is time, all you have is time to waste. And all you'll have is time, all you'll have is time, all you'll have is time. And all you'll have is time, all you have is time to waste. So slow, I pray that you catch me. I'm sleeping in my clothes since the day that you left me. Not the first one to go, but you turn out the lights. We started the car and put it in drive and rolled on.
Slamming Doors. Well, this is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Our show is made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We share music, comedy, and stories about modern life off the beaten path. Today, we're live in one of the most storied towns on the Mesabi Iron Range, Virginia, Minnesota. Now, centuries earlier, Virginia was known by an Ojibwe word that translates to Lake of the North Birds. But from its early days as a logging village and mining center, it's been known as the Queen City of the North, the Mesabi Iron Range, the Royal Jewel, the first bustling metropolis of this remote region. In the late 1800s, this place was, to prospectors and timber barons anyway, a virgin forest of untapped possibilities, hence the name Virginia and the air of monarchy. But some of the most interesting people in Virginia history are living right now and still right here in Virginia. So joining me here on stage, a person who helped us bring the show to Virginia, was a part of our process. In addition to living and working here, she's active in the community. And in 2008, she became the first Native American woman elected and then reelected 4 years later to the Virginia City Council. Here's Nevada Little Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you.
Huge fan of the show, so
honored
to be here.
Well, thank you so much. Please, tell us a little bit about what you think is going on in Virginia now. What's Virginia of today, not the old stories?
Well, Virginia is the largest of the Quad Cities. We're kind of the center of commerce and economy. We have the healthcare hub. There's a lot of things that are going on here, and people gather here. We're just doing a lot of really interesting things right now. You know, the highway realignment is happening, and that's changing the landscape quite dramatically. We're the only city that's bordered by three active mines, and that creates an interesting dynamic for us as well.
Yeah, don't put your breakables too close to the edge of the shelf.
Right.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the greenhouse over there in the park. That's a really fascinating thing, especially this time of year.
Sure. So Virginia has the only botanical garden tropical greenhouse north of the Twin Cities, and it's a municipal greenhouse that was gifted to us by the mines in the 1920s. And we recently did some renovations there. We added some renewable energy sources with photovoltaic solar panels and just some much-needed upgrades. And now that we've done that, we've actually created a space in this greenhouse, which is a wonderful place to be in the wintertime, especially when it's 40 below out, to go into the space that feels really tropical. I know we had the skit about the tropical birds, but it feels really tropical in there.
If only that poor bird had found the tropical greenhouse.
Right. We're doing a lot of things. We have music in there. We have yoga in there every Saturday. There's a lot of events and things happening that just because the space was not really readily utilizable, now it is. And so we're doing a lot of really fun things.
What's your favorite thing about Virginia and living here?
So absolutely my favorite thing is the people. I guess I just would like to do a special shout out, because I think a lot of times we don't give a lot of credit, a special shout out to our young people. We have a lot of really great young people in our community. And just one notable thing, Iron Range Youth in Action, I'm really involved with them. We run the largest youth-run newspaper in the country right here out of Virginia. So,
that's cool. Right. We get it over on the other side of the range in Itasca County. I see it every once in a while, so that's great. Well, thank you, Nevada, and the people of the Mesabi Iron Range, past, present, and future, for helping inspire the Great Northern Radio Show and continuing the legacy of education, arts, natural resources here in northern Minnesota. Thanks, Nevada.
Thank you.
Thank you. Here's Aurora Bear.
Down. went down to the railroad, down, down to the track. Went down to the railroad, down, down to the track. Went down to the railroad, down, down to the track. Train's gonna take me home. 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 Train's gonna take me home.
Aurora Bear, fixture in the Duluth scene. Yeah, you see Aurora playing all over northern Minnesota out of that great Duluth scene that's growing so much. So Aurora, you got some creative projects in the works here?
Yes, the songs that I'm doing today are going onto an album quite soon.
All right, so we have that to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Where should we look for it?
Website, look for it online. I'll make it pretty loud when I put it out.
Okay, she's going to watch for it, folks. It's coming. So Aurora Bear, thanks for joining us
today.
We've got over there on the other side of the stage the Slamming Doors, Iron Range-based band. They've been playing for us all night. They're not quite done yet. But Adam Herman's up there, and you guys have a CD out, too.
Well, it's coming out.
It's coming out.
Late April, early May.
Excellent. Here's the Slamming Doors.
Together, and I'm down here thinking on.
built for the seasons. A breaker of bones, and a hammer to reason. But I'm down here thinking on it. I can't forgive my imagination, 'cause I can feel you in my arms. No, no, no. I gotta hold it all together. And I'm down here thinking on it.
This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. The show is made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota. From paperclips to ships, making the things we use every day with iron ore. Find our podcast at kaxe.org. It is spring in northern Minnesota, which means one thing: waiting for spring to actually arrive. Late. Like a drunken relative into a kid's tap dancing recital. You wish it would show up, but it comes with all kinds of baggage. Here now, the Great Northern Radio Players.
Peter, could you pass me the next college admissions essay? Let's see here. We've got Amy Burdoff from Virginia, Minnesota. The prompt is, tell us about a situation in which you encountered adversity and detail how you overcame it.
Dear Ms. Samantha Briggs, my name is Amy Burdoff. Since you don't live in Minnesota, it might be hard to understand the damaging psychological effects of winter, especially when it stretches past hockey season. That's when people begin to do crazy things, like send death threats to meteorologists or love letters to meteors. Last year was a particularly bad winter. We had this awful polar vortex. The kids spent so much time cooped up with their parents on snow days that statisticians are predicting a birth deficit in the fall. You should have been there on Groundhog Day. I've never seen so many hateful tweets in my life. I won't repeat what they said, but suffice to say, most of them involved a large freezer and steak sauce. People were getting pretty desperate to bring on the onset of spring. That's when the woodsman showed up at my parents' store.
Maury, why the long face?
Oh, Lori. The tourists have headed back to St. Paul, the masochists have jetted back to Florida, but the snow remains.
We made good money this year, dear. You know snow means money.
I think I'm going crazy, Lori. You know, yesterday I swear I saw the lutefisk twitch on my plate. Oh. Without snow, the only way we make money is if spring comes, and you know how long winters have lasted around here lately.
Winter will end soon. It can't last much longer. Golly gosh, though, there must be some sort of practical plan we can implement to get spring to come.
Excuse me, folks. I bagged a deer back in the woods behind your property. If you don't mind, I'd like to drag it through your field out to the road.
For heaven's sakes, of course you can. But I've never seen you before, sir. Where do you live anyway?
The woods.
The woods? Huh. Have you lived there your whole life?
Not yet.
Okay. You seem very busy, so we'll just let you get back.
Wicker man.
What was that?
He said wicker man, honey.
I remember the winter of 38. It was April and we had frozen pipes. People were running out of firewood. People didn't have internet. Scary times. So the people of the woods built an effigy.
A what?
An effigy. It's a statue or crude likeness of a human, sometimes large in size and oftentimes burned to appease the gods. Jeopardy, hello?
We built this wicker man to appease Old Man Winter. Made him 25 feet high. By the time the fire was out, the temp had jumped above 32 degrees for the first time in months. Point being, a wicker man comes in handy.
Oh, that's all you had to do? Burn a bunch of wicker? Well, I've got plenty of baskets lying around.
That's not all you have to do. You need to put something important in there. A maiden.
Well, wow. Well, that was quite the encounter. What was that he said near the end there? My hearing aid froze.
He said we had to stuff a maiden in there when we burn it up.
Well, we got a word for people like him. Character. Did he say 38, as in 1938? That would make him how old? Well, let me see. Do the math.
Let's do it.
Do what?
The first rule of finance. Focus on the future. First, we're going to speed up spring by constructing this magically wonderful wicker man. Second, we'll contract a mystical maiden to sacrifice. Lastly, we'll gather together all the terrific townspeople and light the wicker man to seal the ceremony for a pleasant spring. What do you think?
I think... It's a great idea!
No!
But who's going to be our maiden?
Amy!
Now, I was used to my parents coming up with wacky ideas, and I've learned that it's best to humor them until they forget about it and move on to the next idea. So when they approached me and asked to burn me alive, I wasn't all that concerned. I told them their idea sounded great, but we needed to sleep on it and see how everyone felt in the morning. I really love my parents, I do, but I can't wait to go to college. Out of state.
Rise and shine, Amy girl. It's a beautiful day out there.
Morning, Mom. What's on the agenda for this weekend? Jell-O molds in the shape of ex-presidents? Can't wait.
Well, your fantastic father's on the internet ordering 1,000 pounds of raw wicker from overseas. And I'm writing a request to the fire department to process our permit.
Wait, wicker, event, burning permit? You're not still stuck on all
What's going
that.
On, ladies? I am so excited for it.
Okay, you've had your fun. Now this wicker thing has got to...
Wicker man!
Whatever, wicker man, effigy thing has gone far enough. It's time to move on. Seriously.
Oh, darling, aren't you excited? I mean, look at my Facebook page. I created it for you. It's already got 200 likes. You are going to be the marvelous maiden who resides within the Wicker Man.
Wicker Man!
Wicker Man! You'll help us to finally end this awful winter. You must be pleased as punch.
No, forget it. I'm not doing that.
I understand, darling. You're at a sensitive age, and it seems embarrassing to try new things. It's only natural. Why, when I was your age, I was so nervous the first time a boy asked me to go out to the dance with him. But I had a great time, and now I love dancing.
Mom, this isn't a dance, you lunatic. You're talking about turning your own daughter into a pile of ashes under the premise of weather control. Dad, help me out here.
Well, I was a young man in my youth, so I don't really feel comfortable talking about womanly issues.
Womanly issues? You're talking about arson and homicide, not my time of the month.
Honey, darling, my dear daughter, trust us. This is just one of those things you'll understand once you're older. Think of what a wonderful college admissions essay this will make.
That's true. No, Mom, Mother, Mommy, dearest, how am I supposed to get older if next week I'm burned to death?
Oh, darling, calm down. Look, I made you toast.
Don't expect me home for supper.
I just don't understand kids these days.
Me either, honey, me either.
You might have thought the Wicker Man idea would flame out, but then the weatherman predicted 4 to 6 inches for the weekend. By Thursday, everyone wanted to burn me alive.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Join us at the Virginia High School for the traditional Wicker Man Fire! Wholesome fun for the entire family! Bring the in-laws! Sunday, Sunday, Sunday!
Wicker Man!
If you want to know what adversity feels like, try being stuffed into a 25-foot-tall wicker basket that keeps poking you anytime you move. While your parents and community blare music they think is hip, I tried to reason with them. Good townspeople, listen to me. You don't have to do this. Just let me out of this wicker prison and I won't press charges. I know you're all under some mass hypnotic spell, but the truth of the matter is that you can't control the weather. My parents mean well, but they have led you down a dark and dangerous path, so please, do me a favor.
Now, I'm not one for speeches, so let me just say thank you to all of you for coming and joining in this wonderful event, and a special thanks to our lovely maiden for volunteering her time and energy in order to make this such a wonderful event. You know, I remember when she was just a little girl and we were going through potty training.
Dad!
So, without any further ado, let's get this spring started!
Yeah, sorry about that, folks. That deer jumped right in front of my truck. You guys don't mind if I load him up into my pickup?
It's the mysterious woodsman who told us all about the Wicker Man! Have you come to view the burning?
I've got to get back to my shack in the woods, but I'll take a free hot dog. Say, what's that girl doing inside the Wicker Man?
Wicker Man?
Well, that's the maiden. You told us we had to burn a maiden to appease the old man winter.
Wait, that's not what I said. I told you to burn up things that weren't made in America.
Oh, maiden.
I'm getting real tired of people being unable to find locally grown meat and poultry. Why do you think I live way out in the woods anyway?
What? You mean we don't need to burn up our daughter?
Of course not. Just go get all your junk and throw it in that wicker. The release of fluorohydrocarbons ought to speed up global warming in a jiffy.
So, you see, Miss Briggs, it had all been an enormous misunderstanding. They got me out of the Wicker Man and stuffed it full of beer cans and Walmart products. It formed a beautiful bonfire of red, yellow, green, purple, blue, and it worked! The next day, the ice on the lakes melted so people could finally fish again, which was nice, even though all of the Northerns had an extra fin and the Muskies were three times as big. So you see, Miss Briggs, I would really appreciate it if you would accept my application for a full ride to the University of Hawaii for the sole purpose of getting me away from these homicidal lunatics. Thank you for your consideration.
Well, that was quite the essay. What do you think, Peter? Should we let her in?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to think. You know, it's so hot outside right now. Been 110 degrees for the last few days. This is the third shirt I've gone through today. You know, I'd do almost anything to get it to cool off a bit.
Oh, I know what you mean. They say the volcano's been pretty active lately. That's where all the heat is coming from.
Oh, you know, maybe we have to appease the gods by throwing someone in there, like in the old days.
You know, she is pretty well-rounded.
Accepted! The Great Northern Radio Players. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. We're rolling to the end of our show with Aurora Bear. The Great Northern Radio Show is a production of Northern Community Radio. The show is made possible by support from the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Listen for our show on your local independent public radio station. Find our podcast at kaxe.org. Our stage director is Shelley Hansen. Broadcast audio production in the back there, Dan Haug and Chris Juleson. Post-production by Charlie Polkerbeck. Our associate producer, Erica Coda. The program director at Northern Community Radio is Heidi Holton. Thanks to Maggie Montgomery and the staff at Northern Community Radio, the good folks here at Mesabi Range Community College. Thank you to Nathan Krause, who helped us quite a bit. The show is written by Matt Nelson, myself, Britt Amit, and Nikolai here. And I'm Aaron Brown. Thanks to our musical guest, Sam Miltich in the Clearwater Hot Club. The Slamming Doors. Aurora Bear, Tom Kessinen, and our house keyboard player, Nikolai Koivinen. The Great Northern Radio players tonight include Scott Hansen on sound effects, Britt Amit, Catherine Gritzmacher, Diamond Nispel in her stage debut, Erica Coda, Matt Nelson, Tucker Nelson, and Jason Skorich. Thanks to our guests, Tucker Nelson again, Nevada Little Wolf, and Matthew Miltich. Our next show, June 14th, the Vermilion Community College Theater in Ely, Minnesota. Thanks for listening to Great Northern Radio Show. Thank you, Virginia. Thank you, the Mesabi Iron Range. Thank you all. Good night. One more to take us out from the Clearwater Hot Club and Sam Miltich. Thank you, everybody, and good night. Thanks for being with us.